morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, we're going to be speaking with Mira Crean about Middle Eastern music and dance. Right now, I have here, sitting at the table with me in the cafe, Duo Guadalupe, Ellen Chavez de Leitner, who plays violin, and Roberto Capocchi, who plays guitar. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, a guitar and violin duo. In classical music, is that a common combination that people have written music for?
Yes, it was, especially in the 19th century, when the guitar was very popular as a salon instrument and as accompaniment for the violin and as solo. But modern, there's not so much nowadays that I know, unless Roberto knows or some. There's Piazzolla. A lot of the stuff is arrangements. Like, we do some Baroque arrangements that was originally written for harpsichord and violin. And pretty much any Baroque stuff can be arranged for any instrument combination.
Well, that's an interesting point, which is that there is a lot of music that, for example, your duo does. And by the way, the two of you are going to be performing this Saturday night, the 25th of April, at the Santuario de Chimayo, and we'll be talking about that more in a few minutes. But some of the pieces that you'll be playing on Saturday night, for example, were not written for violin and guitar originally.
Yeah, about half the program we're going to be doing original for voice. And they're all Spanish pieces. There's a set of 7 pieces by Manuel de Falla and 4 pieces by San Andres. And they have one thing in common, that they're all 11 of those songs are traditional Spanish songs that were collected by these composers and arranged in the style that they thought would fit. San Andres arranged them for guitar, and De Falla originally arranged them for soprano and piano. But back then, in the turn of last century, they were already arranged for guitar right away, for piano, and originally for piano and voice, and they arranged for guitar.
And
because
then for voice and guitar. So the accompaniment went from piano to guitar?
Exactly. I'm mixing everything up here.
So we arranged them for violin and guitar.
Violin and guitar. And so when you arrange something for violin and guitar, basically, is the quality of the soprano voice analogous to the violin? I mean, here you are, a violinist.
Well, I used to think that I would be able to approximate a voice, a human voice, and I'm still working on it. But, violin has such a huge range of possibilities. But I have a daughter who's a soprano, and I cannot equal her voice.
You can't do it. But presumably there's things that you can do on the violin that
yes.
a soprano voice can't do either.
Yes, I mean, I can play a note that's 10 measures long that she couldn't hold her breath
right.
that long.
Interesting.
And there's pizzicato, of course, and different octaves. I mean, much higher than...
Right, of course.
Not much lower, though.
And there's one thing I've noticed in the arrangements that Ellen does, that instead of approaching it as one singer, if we have a repeat of a piece, it's a different soprano, a coloratura, or something like that. You can, just in the way you arrange it, I guess, with the bowing and the choice of octaves and stuff like that, actually come across as more than one singer taking turns, which is something you couldn't do in the original.
Very interesting.
Well, I don't know if singers can do that, but I like to change colors, really. There, it might be one part bright the first time and very muted the second time if there's a repeat or, a different section that's something similar. I just like to experiment with all kinds of colors.
So let's talk about the program that you're doing on Saturday night. Paganini, we think of as one of the great violinists who wrote this amazing repertoire for violin. Apparently he was also a great guitar player.
Yes, apparently he was arguably the second best guitarist in the world at the time.
In his time.
Yes, and because of that, he rarely performed as a guitarist because he didn't want to be known as the second best anything.
You're kidding.
Yeah, but his... And it shows in the way that he writes. He really knows the instrument. He has a lot of music for this combination. And the choice of the four sonatas that we're doing this Saturday, I think it's an interesting example, because a lot of his music for guitar and violin has a very, very simple guitar accompaniment. And he has two
pieces.
So the
violin is the star and the guitar is the support.
Yes, and who would want that?
Yeah, who wants that? No. Especially if you've spent your whole life trying to be a virtuoso guitarist.
Exactly. And I think he heard that complaint often enough that he wrote a couple of pieces where they switch places. They're pretty much guitar sonatas with a little violin accompaniment. And these are right in the middle. The guitar is the accompaniment instrument, but it's an interesting accompaniment. It's not cha-cha, cha-cha all the time.
Right.
There's a lot of variety in it, a lot of different textures with it. Things that only someone that knew the instrument intimately could craft the way he did.
Well, I've read that he composed everything on the guitar. I mean, all his
violin music.
Well, he worked on the guitar as he was composing. I mean, he didn't like take up his violin and play something and then write it. He worked on the guitar. Is how I understand it. And everything he composed, like his concertos with the orchestra. So, I mean, his guitar was, he had it with him.
So the two of you are duo Guadalupe. When you, for example, with the Paganini, when you practice a piece together, what does it feel like? Is it like a conversation between those two instruments?
I think one thing that that we do, there's a combination of leading and following that we kind of pass the baton, so to speak. And depending on the place, depending on the texture of the music, that's going to define who's leading and who's following. And often that baton isn't what it sounds like when you listen to the music. It's not necessarily what you would think.
So what it feels like to play it and what the experience of the listener are two different things.
From that point of view, I think they're often exactly the opposite.
Really?
Yeah.
It would be so interesting if you could do a didactic concert from time to time and play the piece and then play it again and show it in that way to the listener.
Yeah, because it goes by so fast. I mean, the audience only hears it once and it's like, oh, well, I didn't notice that part, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But what's nice about playing with Roberto, he's good enough that he can do things. And, I mean, I just can't stand the accompanists that are just chink-chink or plink-a-plink, you know, and no dynamics, no, I mean, even though the part might be simple, just arpeggio or something, Roberto works out some real expression to it that
it's
goes.
It's as interesting as you make it.
Yeah.
So that's some of the... Paganini is the first thing that you're going to be playing, and it's a set of sonatas.
Yes, four sonatas.
Four sonatas for violin and guitar, and then you'll be playing quite a bit of Spanish guitar music. Now, Spanish guitar is very well known, and there's probably... Would it be accurate to say there's more repertoire for guitar coming out of Spain than any other European country?
No.
I
don't think so, but I think it's probably the most recognizable. I think the way popular music in Spain and classical music in Spain have influenced each other continuously to this day gives that impression. But
right.
You know, the guitar is extremely popular in chamber music in Germany and in Italy. And... But I think the most recognizable sound of it, when people think classical guitar, a lot of people just call it Spanish guitar.
Right.
And they have a point. The instrument came from there in its present form, and it's...
Well, and you'll be speaking of that back and forth between classical music and popular music. You're doing Siete Canciones Populares, seven popular songs by Manuel de Falla, and we're actually going to hear one or two of them right now. What do you know about this? Tell us a little bit about, for example, the composer, Manuel de Falla.
Well, de Falla was the big shot Spanish composer at his time. It's a reference, and between him and Joaquín Turina, there's a quality that Spanish classical composers have that they, in this nationalist feeling, that they would go and do research and travel and listen to Spanish music. And these seven pieces are actually popular pieces that he collected and went back and wrote piano accompaniments in the style that he remembered.
And this is fairly recently. I mean, a century ago?
Yeah. And probably the accompaniments that he heard were played on guitar. And then when he went back and arranged them for piano, it's pretty natural to play them on guitar. And the arrangements I'll be using are contemporary of his, by Emili Pujol. And I think that's common with a lot of music that we call Spanish guitar was actually written for piano by Albéniz, Granados, and this is an example of that.
And it has the violin in it as well.
Well, I was going to say something about that. I don't know of any Spanish composer besides Sarasate that wrote for violin. I mean, these pieces we're doing are arranged. We do the voice part as violin. So, you know, if anyone knows of any, I love Spanish music, so I'm always playing Spanish guitar music. You know, my favorite composers wrote for the guitar. And
so what we're about to hear is a piece for violin and guitar, but it was originally for voice and guitar. Why don't we go ahead and hear the first piece? We're talking to Duo Guadalupe. And that was a recording. That was the two of you that we were listening to.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
All the recordings we're listening to today are all live.
Yeah.
Performances here in town.
From Duo Guadalupe, which is Ellen Chavez de Leitner and Roberto Capocchi on violin and guitar, respectively. So, have you done a lot of recording? I guess you've been at it for nearly a decade. The two of you playing as a duo.
Well, we started recording almost as soon as we met. I mean, we worked out a concert, and then we said, well, let's record this. So we worked on that for 3 years. And
what is it? Wait, 3 years to?
To produce the CD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had a month-long project. That,
yeah, dragged out to 3 years.
Yeah, dragged a little bit. And, we've been playing for almost 10 years now, I think. And there have been periods where we were playing more often than not. The last couple of years have been very, very heavy with other things happening too, between work and a lot of changes. So we've been just trying to get back to playing more together. It's a pleasure to do it. And when we started off, we would just have a regular schedule that we'd get together and work at things.
And we record our rehearsals too, so there's some stuff from there.
When you record your rehearsals, I've always wondered this. Do you get a lot of surprises when you then listen to the recordings?
Oh, yeah. It's like, let's throw this in the trash.
Well, you know how microphones make everybody else's voice sound funny. And it's kind of the same thing. It's a great tool because you actually hear yourself and adapt to either you work towards sounding the way you think you sound, or you realize how you sound and you work with that
right
a little better. And I think both of those are great ways to go about it.
Now, Isaac Albéniz was another Spanish composer who lived, again, a little over 100 years ago. Mm. And you're going to be playing some of his work on the event on Saturday night at the Santuario de Chimayo up in Chimayo. Tell us a little bit about his life and work. One of these is a solo violin piece, I guess, and one is a solo guitar piece.
Yes, Albéniz wrote everything for piano. All his music is, he was a tremendous pianist, and that's what he wrote for. And he did a lot of traveling and listening to music in around the country in Spain. And the two pieces that we're going to be playing are part of a suite called the Suite Española, the Spanish suite, which he has a series of pieces named after cities, and each one in the style that he remembered from each town. And of course, this music sounds really nice on the guitar because of the Spanish connection there. And a lot of them, the originals that inspired him to write these were probably on guitar, mostly. And a lot of the piece Ellen is playing is, I think, known mostly as a guitar arrangement. And so it's, I think she's doing a third degree.
That's interesting. So it went from being composed for piano to arranged for guitar and then arranged again for violin.
Yeah, I don't know if the arrangement was taken from the guitar arrangement or directly
or
from the
piano.
It is a little abridged, though. I found some stuff I was comparing with the guitar recording, and there's a repeat that's left out, and I think a whole section of like 8 measures. So
it's funny, when you are doing the kind of work that you do as a duo and taking pieces that have been arranged for other instruments and arranging them yourself, you really have to become kind of a musicologist and a historian as well as a performer.
Yeah, it's always interesting to really get to the meaning and to be able to do a piece, not just toss it off like any other old piece, get to know who the composer was, where it's from.
To some degree, you need to think about these things, and they guide your process. But in the end, you listen. And sometimes there are things that should work that don't, which are pretty common. And rarely there's things that shouldn't work and do.
Right.
And sometimes those are the best.
So we have another couple of tracks that we want to hear, at least one or two. You're also doing Cuatro Canciones from Francisco de San Andrés. And that's, again, is that the same type of thing as the Manuel de Falla, which is popular songs then transformed into classical music?
Yes, but we just haven't been able to find much about the composer, Francisco San Andrés. I just found this music at a book sale at St. John's College a few years ago, and I got it because it was for guitar and you know, I'm always looking for more repertoire for, although it was for voice and guitar. But I have, you know, my daughter has sung it too. And so we've used it, but I've looked all over the internet. I couldn't find any information about it.
I think the San Andres are different than the Defiant in that they're closer to the traditional. Closer to what the composer would have heard. I think Defiant has been a terrific composer. He has more of his own input in the piano accompaniment that he wrote. And the Defiant collections are they're more literal, and I think they're a lot simpler too. That's why
you mean the San Andres.
Sorry, the San Andres are more closely related to the originals, and simpler arrangements. And that again, within the style, they leave you with more leeway to add things, change things, play with things, than just execute things as written.
So that simplicity gives you place to, if not improvise, at least add some color.
Oh yeah, if you not only in the violin work that Ellen does on the voice part is, you know, at points very different than what you'd see in the score, and in the case of the San Andres, I do the same thing on the guitar. The Defiant, if you just write, do what he's doing, play what he wrote, it's great. The San Andres, not only you can add things, but it really sounds like you should.
Yeah, it's more fun to improvise with the San Andres. I mean, I was doing more violinistic stuff than is in the Defiant or the San Andres.
Well, let's hear A la Raya del Monte from Francisco de San Andres. We're listening to the duo Guadalupe, who will be playing this Saturday, the 25th of April, at 6 in the evening. It's an early evening concert at the Santuario de Chimayo up in Chimayo, New Mexico. Now, that is a very famous tourist destination. Everybody goes up there and gets magic dirt and eats it or puts it on their head or whatever to cure themselves of all ills. But it's also a beautiful space. What are the acoustics like in there?
Well, they're amazingly good. I have played in Adobe buildings before, since I grew up around Adobe buildings, and I practiced in a little.
Are you from here?
Well, my family's on my mother's side is from Chimayo, nine generations. And so I didn't think that Adobe would be good acoustics, because I'd never played them. But the Santuario is very, very nice, very warm, amazingly warm sound. And it's a small building that seats maybe 70 people at the most. So,
and it seems like it's not a place where you hear that much about music concerts.
I think they allow for, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they allow for about one of these a year or something like that. And we've been fortunate enough to play there a few times.
Well, actually, I'm a member of the parish. It's part of the parish, Holy Family Parish in Chimayo.
Ah.
So, and I always play for the Mass in the 10 o'clock Mass at Holy Family Church.
Oh, okay.
And I think I've played at the Santuario too a couple of times. But, I don't get paid for this. It's volunteer work.
Right.
And they appreciate my work. So, yeah, the pastor there allows me to use the Santuario. It's not like for rent or anything, but he likes having good music there. He wouldn't like just rent it out to some kind of crazy theater
group. To a jam band, right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So you, Ellen, are also, besides being a musician, you are an artist, and you are a santera in the northern New Mexican tradition of saint-making, wood carving. Is that correct?
That's right. I started that after I had my, I think I was pregnant with my fifth child. And I thought, you know.
What do I do with my spare time?
No, I love being creative, and I have been always playing the violin, you know, playing at different orchestras, freelancing, and but at that point, I didn't want to be leaving the kids late at night, which is usually when a concert is. And I just got into painting. My brother, who's an artist, Arturo Chavez, encouraged me and helped me a little with materials and colors and stuff. But so I started that back in 1988 and. Or 1986. I was started in the Spanish market in 1988. And I do a lot of St. Cecilia's because she's the patron saint of music.
Ah, right.
But Roberto, it was his idea to put the Guadalupe in our name because I paint a lot of her too. And we did most of our first concerts at the Santuario de Guadalupe in Santa Fe.
Right, and so, and that's why you're called Duo Guadalupe, and the images of your Ellen artwork is on the cover of some of your discs. You, Roberto, are also, you're from Brazil, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a Brazilian guitarist, but you do play Brazilian music as well as classical, is that correct?
Yes, I've been getting back more into that, and I've been exploring some things that I always loved, especially choro, and it's a very different tradition. It's the choro guitar is very intense, very virtuosic, and has a very clear role in a group. And so you really have to either grow up in that tradition, listening to it and learning as you go, or approaching it after you're an accomplished, somewhat accomplished player. You have to go through the same paces of being more modest with what you're doing in that style, and it's just very beautiful music.
Well, I hope that we can do a show on that some other time, because it's a form of music that I'm also very fond of. We don't have time to talk about it here today. Duo Guadalupe is playing this Saturday, April 25th, at the Santuario de Chimayo at 6 o'clock in the evening. For tickets, you can call 505-920-9728. And Ellen Chavez de Leitner and Roberto Capocchi on violin and guitar, thank you both so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
It's fun. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Please stay tuned to KSFR.